Welcome to the Swike Podcast, the only podcast that shares the stuff you didn't know you needed to know about jobs, careers, and life. The Swike Podcast, the stuff I wish I knew earlier.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Swike Stuff I Wish I Knew Earlier podcast. We're here with our new guest host, Keith. Keith, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm very good. Thank you, Luki.
Thanks for being on the show. So Keith comes to us with a background in business and leadership and a whole bunch of other things. So what would you say that you're doing now? What are you up to these days?
After about 33 years in corporate Canada, working in banking, financial services, the healthcare industry, and working also with governments, I'm doing my own advisory and consulting. I started my own company called NCI Group that specializes in the three different areas that I've worked in, which is financial services, healthcare, and the government sector.
Sounds good. And obviously you didn't start that way right out the gate. So we'd love to rewind a little bit and ask, like, what was Keith like as a kid? What were some early fond childhood memories? Were you more kind of the curious, mischievous type or something like that? What were you like as a kid?
Well, I was born and raised in Sri Lanka. So I lived there for 4 years before we came to Canada in 1973. So as a child growing up in Sri Lanka, I was always very curious about the world and about what makes everything move and what makes everything work together, everything from the environment to financial services to just even working in the different areas around the recreational side, the beaches, the hotels. I was a very curious kid. And when we decided to leave Sri Lanka and come to Canada, my parents in 1973, it was winter, November, actually it'll be 50 years this month that we came to Canada. And it was a bit of a cold of a winter blast that came in November 1973. And then I realized that the world is very different around all the different countries. And I was very curious to see how Canada is different from Sri Lanka. And one of my first experiences was working with the different retail businesses, working with the different banking services, because I would go with my father or my mother as they were looking for jobs because I was still not in school. So I would be a tag along. So everything from hospitals to the banks, to factories and retail. So I was very curious to see how these businesses work. And as a child growing up in Canada in the 1970s, everything was done manually. There was no real automation or digitization as we have today. So everything you did was on an hourly basis, on a punch clock. And basically you had to be present to do whatever you needed to do, be it work in a factory, work at a hospital, work in a bank. Unlike today where everything is done remotely and digital or self-service. So I decided as a young child to figure out what makes these different industries tick and how I could be involved with some of these different industries. So always curious and always looking at change as part of my growing up experience in Canada.
Sounds good. So you mentioned you're a curious kid. And when you were in school, were you kind of the academic type where you were kind of straight A's and all that? Or sometimes the curious kids are a little bit of the troublemakers, depending on how curious they are. Yes. What were you like on that spectrum?
I would say going through kindergarten, I learned how to share and not share and also got in some trouble. But I would say I was a bit of a hybrid between being curious and also being an academic. But it was the formative years back, I would say when I was about 4 to 6, new to Canada, trying to learn the language. It was a bit of a challenge because I was multiple different languages, from Sinhalese to Tamil. My dad spoke Portuguese. So learning English 4 years into coming to Canada was a bit of a challenge, but I did persevere. And I would say overall, I was very good academically, but also very good working with people and basically my peers as a very young child.
Sounds good. And then we kind of move advanced to, let's say, the high school days, where in high school, is that when you were starting to tag along with your parents and you learned about the business world and things like that? Or how did that start, in its inception?
Well, it's transitioning because as my parents, as a youngster, 4 to 5 years old, understanding the different businesses and understanding the different types of companies out there and the services they provide. When I was in high school, I was looking for a job as well. When I was 13, 14, to make some summer income. And I started off working in a factory, printing labels in a label factory with my mother. She got me in there when I was 14, going on 15 that summer. And as I learned the different industries and I also learned the different types of jobs out there, I also pivoted into the hospitality industry the following year, working for Canada's Wonderland. And
sounds good. And were there any other choices or options along the way? Because it seems like that you had a pretty varied work experience. So healthcare, did you want to become a doctor and do that STEM sort of thing? Or
I was looking at, my first choice was to become a pilot, a jet fighter pilot. And then I said, well, I don't know if that I could handle that, because I think it was right after a Top Gun came out when I was 18 years old. And so that was my first choice. Then I realized, you know, being a physician or working in a hospital, I don't necessarily like, blood and working with in an environment that's sometimes depressing. The retail environment was very interesting as well, and also manufacturing. So I tended to look at how do I improve, be it the public sector or private sector, through business and understanding what makes everything work. And so that's one of the reasons I got into business, and I went to university to study more around business, finance, management science, as well as the art of negotiating as well.
Sounds good. And so you ended up at University of Windsor. Were there very many programs that you were considering along the way, or was there kind of a set area of business? Because business is pretty broad in terms of what you want to do.
It was a very interesting and very good question, because it was the early 1990s, 89, 90, when free trade just happened in North America. So free trade was paramount. We had a whole North American trading bloc between Canada, U.S., and Mexico. So when I went to the University of Windsor, there was also a program with Wayne State as well as Michigan State to kind of cross-pollinate and do courses in Canada and the U.S., which leveraged me very well to understand both the Canadian markets as well as the U.S. markets as relates to commerce and business and trade. So it was very interesting, because one of the main reasons I went there was to get that U.S. experience. Mm.
And with that in U.S. experience, is that kind of a clear-cut path to what you decided to do, like after university, or was it a challenging time to land a job out of school? What was that experience like?
Sure. As I indicated, I started as a summer student at Scotiabank in my third year of business school, and really focusing on merchant point of sale and digital payments. So we were doing transformation around cash and coin to digital payments for credit cards and debit cards. So I was involved with the national launch of Interact Online Payments and Interact Direct Payments. So you can now use your debit card, which is now the number one payment in Canada. Billions of transactions being processed annually, both at the retail level as well as on e-transfer. So that was my experience of getting, and I realized that kind of transcended all businesses from retail, manufacturing, also government sector, where at the end of the day, nothing happens until a payment happens.
Right. And did you have a good sense of whether or not that was the type of work that you wanted to be doing in university? Because sometimes folks go through school and they think that work is going to be one way, and then they end up doing something totally different. Or was this pretty close to what you had hoped you would be doing?
I liked the industry that I was in, because with banking and financial services, it was not just one sector. It was a horizontal approach. So I was dealing with industry segments from manufacturing, retail, government, hospitality. So it was something that intrigued me, because I was always interested in all different walks of life. And this was a perfect way to get into that environment where I could work with multiple different verticals, multiple different clients, and use my wealth of experience in that way.
Sounds good. So you spent a number of years in Scotia kind of moving up the ladder. And then were there any kind of key milestones or pivotal experiences along the way that you learned from and want to share with the audience?
Definitely, because I was working first in the operational role, doing all the different setups and implementing digital services for businesses and merchants. And then I got into more the product development. So I pivoted and got into product development and building the products for the future.
Okay.
So with the first product that I was working on was doing a credit card batch program, which is kind of the prelude to what we do today. If you look at Apple Pay, Google Pay, it's all tied back to processing credit cards in a real-time, a batch process on your credit card. So, but it's now a better customer experience. So one of the products that I launched almost 30 years ago was around batch credit card processing, which was really the catalyst to what we enjoy today, which is using your payments for memberships, for recurring payments, for basically tap and go, was the foundational elements that were put together about 30 years ago that I built as part of my product role at the Bank of Nova Scotia.
Sounds good. And what was the process to kind of learn those skills? Because you at that point, you didn't go back to school, and going from operations to kind of product development is a little bit different. Was it a pretty easy transition to do that?
It was not an easy transition because based on my formal training and education, understanding, let's say, the academic part of it, understanding the operational part of it, and then how do you build a better value proposition for businesses and consumers? So it's very much something that you have to learn on the job and learn through working with people. So it's very collaborative and understanding what the business side needs, what consumers needs, what the financial industry needs, what banks need. At the end of the day, you're moving money securely with the data to make sure there's no fraud, to make sure that it's not compromised and that the funds are settled. So because if funds are not received for the business, they can't operate their business, and to make sure that the consumer also gets what they have asked for with regards to be it online payments or physical payments.
Sounds good. And then you moved from the banking sector into the telecom sector. And I think there was a stint at Rockman along the way where you did go back to school. Can you describe kind of that process?
No, it was what I did was I left banking in 2001 and went into BC Emerges. And BC Emerges at the time was the biggest IT company in Canada in 2001. They managed multiple tech sectors from logistics, hospitality, healthcare, as well as financial sector. And what they did was they transformed and digitized the entire ecosystem. So basically, this was before the iPhone came. This was before we had procurement sites and automation. Back in over 20 years ago, they were building technology to put in place to basically make your life better, more efficient, both as a consumer and a business. The challenge was it was during the dot-com period. So a lot of these dot-com companies struggled because they built it, but they didn't have the value proposition, or they a lot were early to the game. They were trying to do mobile payments, and the iPhone, this was 2002, and the iPhone didn't come out until 2007, right, as an example. So a lot of what I did was ahead of the time, but it was a good way to build out a network, leveraging mobility, leveraging all the different interoperability with multiple different stakeholders. The lesson learned was that a lot of the things that we build out as products and services, the market was not ready to adopt it and embrace it until there was the consumer devices and the consumer acceptance of digital services, which really happened with the advent of the iPhone about 4 to 5 years later.
Yeah, it goes to show that sometimes being ahead of your time is not the opportune place to be because if the market is not ready, then it's not there. But sometimes that provides you some more advantages and opportunities because when it is ready, then you already have done it, whereas people are still later in the game. So BC Avengers, that was prior or around the time you ended up in Bell and Telus, or what was that journey like?
Yeah, so Bell, BC Emerges was a Bell company, a Bell Canada Enterprise company. They, after the restructuring, after the dot-com restructuring that happened back around 2004, 2005, Telus bought our company, and they wanted to get into the data management and content management, both in the financial sector and the health sector. So in 2008, Telus bought the division and the company that I was part of, and that's where the next journey happened. With regards to transforming digital services for both healthcare as well as for financial services around 2008, 2009, which was really the advent where the iPhone was taking everyone, including the business world and consumers, by storm to adopt this type of technology to your lifestyle became more pervasive into your business. And what we learned during that, let's say 2008 to 2010, everything we built had to be part of your lifestyle as opposed to being a standalone. So what I did back with Telus was to adopt solutions to manage your health content, your financial services content, and a better customer experience, incorporating not only getting your data, getting your information and financial records and health records, but also the ability to pay those solutions and services online or through your mobile device. And at the same time, I believe strongly in continuous education. And that's when we went into the Rothman School of Business as the Telus executive team to do a three-year program that was basically spanned over three summers to enhance our strategy, our tactics, our understanding our market, as well as understanding new markets. So that was also another way to have continuous learning, which I'm a strong believer of And that continuous learning helped me take it to the next level, which was really looking at the global footprint and how we could do more on an international basis too, not only in Canada.
Sounds good. So it seems like, it almost is like a full circle moment in the sense that you started your career in hospitality, healthcare, manufacturing, all that sort of stuff. And you ended up becoming like a leader in this space. And whether you liked it or not, you went back into like the sort of the manufacturing, not quite more the B2C, and then back to healthcare and all that. But always
exactly
the business foundations, looking to optimize, making things a little bit better and what have you, so that people could have everything as more of a lifestyle versus just like a little tag on to the types of things. And I love what you said about the continuous learning, because I think that's what a lot of people miss, where they think end of university, I'm done. Whereas in your journey, to get to the next level, you had to learn, whether it was on the job training or what have you, and you had this opportunity with an executive program to continue down that path. And I'm sure formally or informally, there was a ton of learning as well in the process as well.
Exactly.
And I'd love if you shared a little bit of kind of the last few years. So from TELUS, there was D&D, and then now with NCI, some of those things. And were there any interesting learnings along those paths?
Definitely. And in with regards to continuous learning, we also did very much, we invested in our leadership. So in 2017, 2018, we did a Harvard program to look at how do we become more global? How do we pivot to create other different divisions? And a lot of that was focused on TELUS International and looking at how we could now take our footprint on a global basis. So the Harvard School of Business really taught us to look outside of the box and to look globally, more of an outward in focus. What that means is, what are the customers looking for as opposed to what we're looking for, which is an inward out focus. And it really got us to the level where we launched TELUS International. We also were able to create a different value proposition that was more compelling, putting all the payments assets and financial services assets into TELUS Financial Solutions. So in 2020 and 21, TELUS International did an initial public offering, went public in 2021. In 2021, we also spun off our division to Dye & Durham, and that division was TELUS Financial Solutions. And it was really to monetize and to basically get more value of the different divisions that we were able to create throughout the TELUS group of companies. And so in 2001, this was all during the pandemic as well, we were able to do two spinoffs and then from there grow that business. So I joined the Dye & Durham team. And as part of that was to integrate our solutions, TELUS Financial Solutions, within the Dye & Durham suite of services, both domestically and internationally. And after about a year and a half of that integration transition services, we were able to successfully integrate the solutions, the products, as well as the financial model to create a better profitability, as well as a better revenue model and better customer experience. So it was a win-win on all fronts. And then I decided in basically about 6 months ago that after about 33 years in the corporate world, I decided to, how do I give back both in educational wise, also with regards to coaching and training. So I started my own company in the consulting and an advisory called NCI Group, which is basically Nagera Consulting Inc.
It sounds good. So the theme that I'm taking is a lot of innovation and that continuous learning aspect, right? So you're ahead of the curve with many of these technological or financial innovations as well. And the theme of it was that continuous learning that allowed you to kind of stay up to date with kind of the latest and greatest in tech. And exactly. I'm wondering, as we wrap up, if you could share a little bit of your swag, the stuff I wish I knew earlier. So obviously you shared a little bit of but along the way. But if there's any specific ones that you want to highlight or the ones that you didn't speak about, what are some of the swag that you wish you were knew earlier and could share with young Keiths or the young Keiths listening in the kind of key pivotal moments of your life or your younger life?
Sure. Well, the three things I learned, if I could go back in time and tell my younger self, is that always look at what can be done and what's the art of the possible. Because a lot of times we always put restrictions and barriers in our own head and prevent us from taking the next step. So I would say, don't hesitate, because as a child coming to Canada, I was always hesitant because I didn't know the language properly. I didn't fit in. So never put any artificial barriers around you is one piece of advice. Second is always look at what does the customer want? What's the compelling value proposition? It's not all about you just because you believe this is what everyone wants. It's that outward in focus. You know, what is the customer looking for? What are they willing to pay for? And what's the value proposition would be the second. So not what you want, it's what the customer wants. And the third is always give back to the community. One area that I've realized is that it's great having successful businesses, making money, being profitable and growing business, but it doesn't mean anything until you show how you could give back to the community where you live, as well as not both domestically and internationally, either through charitable donations, fundraisers, or even just giving back and your knowledge and wisdom that you have acquired over the last 30 years. So the third thing is to give back is what I would strongly encourage my younger selves to do, as opposed to it's, don't be selfish and it's not all about you.
Yeah, I think that's great. And to go kind of in reverse order, giving back to the community, I think is super helpful. And you don't have to wait till you're like at the end of your career working like 33 years. Like you can give back when you're younger, and there are tons of mentorship programs where like a young alumni is mentoring like an existing student, or a student is mentoring like a high school student, or high school student is mentoring like a grade school student. So wherever you are, there's always someone that you could teach or would benefit from your wisdom and experience. So you don't have to wait till you're later on in life. I actually met with someone recently where they were like 30 something and they started a scholarship, right? It was one thing where they gave about $1,000, $2,000 or something like that. And I think there's a minimum depending on the schools, but less than he thought was needed, he was able to start a scholarship. So I love the fact that you're giving back to the community. Find a cause that you're passionate about, whether it's education, mentorship, or within the business community. I know we both served with the Scarborough Business Association and gave back on that side. So I think that was great. I also liked what you said about going with what does the customer want. So I know I've been guilty myself where it's the expression, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes they don't.
Maybe that's what.
Because if you're focused too much on what you want, then maybe they don't. And with today's society where there's a lot of like agile development and outreach and stuff, the feedback cycle is so much quicker where you can build something quickly, create like an MVP, and it's really catering to your customers and what they want versus the back in the day, it took a lot of experience or a lot of effort to build something out, and you might not see something for months, if not years, if not longer, right?
Exactly.
So, definitely focus in on the customer and always looking at what can be done, the art of the possible. I think that's amazing where I know, well, maybe it's that immigrant upbringing, you're hesitant, right? You're reticent about doing kind of those risky, challenging things for many people. And maybe it's not just that, maybe it's initial personality. But if you actually cap the downside and realize, okay, you know what, if I don't do it, right? That might be worse than me doing it, right? Because if you don't do it, you'll have all these regrets and all these things, the possibilities in your head. Whereas if you did it and it didn't quite work, well, at least you learned something along the way, right?
Exactly.
And there's a whole bunch of different things. So I love like what you said. And yeah, so thank you so much, Keith, for sharing your journey and all the different points. And if folks want to connect with you, where can they reach out to you? And can you share a few of your future aspirations that we might look forward to hearing about you in the near future?
Sure, because people reach out to me by email. It's keith@nciGroup.tech. Or my website to find out more information about what I'm doing at nciconsulting.com. Or just reach out to me through LinkedIn. And what I'm working on right now is not only mentoring, advising, and consulting, but also looking at new opportunities and working with some startups that are in the fintech and health tech space. So always there, not only to learn, but also to give back and very much to see success. So by all means, reach out to me and connect with me, and looking forward to it.
Sounds good. And thanks so much, Keith, for sharing those insights. And we'll put all that information in the show notes. And hopefully we'll have you back for a future episode and maybe do deep dives into one of those areas. So thanks so much, Keith, for your time.
Yeah, I would welcome that in a year from now to see the progress. I would love to do a second interview.
Sounds good. Take care, Keith.
Yeah, have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Swike, Stuff I Wish I Knew Earlier, the podcast. If you like the podcast, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you found this podcast. And if you can give us a review, that would be very appreciated. Feel free to contact me on LinkedIn at Luki Danu, LukiDanu, and the same on most social media platforms. And I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks. Bye.